summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go?
Hello, welcome into episode 103 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got What's a Crack, the Swap, and the Knit Along section, Me Me Me, Runny Runny Runny, Passing It On, Dram section with a Glenlivet 15-year-old single malt whisky, and a Shoppy section, which actually has something in it this time. And we've got Quattro in the background snoring. I sponsor this from my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blather.
The blather. Revisit. This is where we go back from whence we came, or at least we're going to rewind until New Year 2014. I did say we would come back to the Freshies blather in April, and now it's April. In fact, nearly finished April, so I better get to the point. Back in January, we were at the start of the year. We had our resolutions, we had our goals. How are you all getting on with yours? Have you achieved some? Are you still working on others? Are you just giving up on some other ones? Let's revisit the ideas that we had to shake things up. We might have gone for a new sport. We might even have tried to lose weight. We might have cast on a new technique, or garment, or craft. We might even have moved country, or even the planet, if you've been on those yarn fumes again. It's time to revisit these ideas. If you took your idea, and you don't know which part of your brain it came from, you know, sometimes you'd rather it stayed in there, but you had said it out loud then. Yep, halfway up the burn road for me is where I normally think, why did I say I would run 10k? But then, when I get home, Richard makes me the tea, runs me the bath, and I've gone down 3 holes in my belt, then yes, it's worth it. Plus, when some of you say that I'm the inspiration for you going running, that spurs me on enormously. But not one person has come up to me randomly and said, have you lost weight? Not one person. I did moan this to my mum, and she says, oh, I have noticed you've lost weight. I says, yeah, but you see me a lot and you know that I'm doing this. You're not random. I want a random person who I've not seen in at least a month. Have you lost weight? I must have to work harder. But I'd like to hear how your fresh ideas have worked out. Are they still going? Or were they just not good for you? It's too easy to give up after week 3, really, isn't it? Don't beat yourself up for having a break from things like dieting, exercising, or knitting the lace shawl. My point is that you go back to it, you stick with it. That is, if it was for you. Our goals, sometimes, can be unrealistic, or we have the rubbish training plan to get there. I.e., you rushed into knitting that Fairell sweater without knowing how to do the technique of Fairell. You got to popping the lovely colours and, oh, tension was off and you've tied your fingers in a knot, trying to work out how to work both hands at once. Well, yeah. We start Fairell with a teacher. Or, if you can do it, YouTube, which is in essence a teacher, just not one that you get personal help from. Then you carry on with a small swatch, the size of a dishcloth, possibly a hat. Then boom, on you go to the jumper. That is, if you know how to knit a jumper. Oh, if you don't, well, add that into your training programme. My niece has her exams soon and she's been studying pretty hard. She's a bright, bright lassie, so I'm sure she'll be fine. Tried to pass on the Auntie Louise wisdom of, well, even if you hate the subject or you find it quite hard, try and get the best possible mark you can, because at the end of the day, you need the high mark to get the bit of paper to get the job that you want to do. She's been steadily studying since at least February, and Richard loves it when she gets the physics homework, because he is finally somebody that cares and understands. So if you've got exams coming up, all the best, put the work in and get the rewards. Has any of you realised that you are amazingly good at something that you've never tried before? That tatting course you went on, you're a natural. You're now selling it. I was having this discussion in the pub one night. What if, when you were little, you were told what your gift was? Would life be better or more frustrating and pressurised? I don't know. I don't think we agreed on the outcome of this. I think there was another round came to the table at that point. It's a bit of the film Divergent, but without the Kate Winslet Have you revisited an old haunt, somewhere you've not been to in donkey's years, or met with an old friend who's had her twins, or revisited an old book? I listened to Sherlock Holmes recently and it was very good, very like the Robert Downey Jr. film, which I think is very like the Benedict Cumberbatch series, and yep, very much liked it, an audiobook. We revisited the programme Shetland again, based on the Anne Cleves Jimmy Perez series, some notable knitting, and they even visited the library, but I didn't see Louise Scully. I was kind of hoping she'd be skulking around the stacks. She was our fresh new podcaster, now whom I can't live without. Are we ready to start some new freshies? It is suggested that it's better to start a new resolution, not at New Year, but other random times and spread them out. I suppose it makes sense for things like outdoor sports, for instance, and well, hands up on the bus, who has got the New Year's resolution all forgotten about the 23rd of January? It might be time to start it again. You can put your hands down now. Call it a resolution, just do it. Channel my new Nike Air trainers, just do it. They are so bright you can see them from space, which is good for you high on yarn fumes. Come on, down from there, it's time for your dinner. Well, whatever I've had you revisiting, I hope it's the outcome you wanted. If not, look to yourself for why not. Is it a genuine reason not to carry on, or do you need a wee shuggle? All aboard the shuggle train. Come on, everyone shuggle the person in front of you. Give us a little wee hug. All is well with the world. Revisit, renew, shuggle, it's up to you. So if you need a pee stop, go, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle.
Hello
section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me a while now and been with me for ever listeners. I really appreciate you tuning in and I hope you enjoy it. Sandy hello to new group members, Ginger Twist Studio, from Ginger Twist Studio down in Edinburgh, wow! Dawn Turner from Down Under, Kelsey Left Witch, Librarian Kate 7578, Pat Frag. I apologise, I actually thought you were in the group. Oh, there's Pat Frag's name. I thought she was already in there, but I speak to her all the time, so it doesn't really matter. Four Bookworm, who's got a lovely doggy. Jaxi985, I look forward to meeting you in person. And Barbear, hello again. Random hellos to Jamie Rollert. I am such a bad Skype friend. I missed our Skype date last night. I'm so bad. I was driving into Thurso and I thought, it's Thursday today. I thought it was Wednesday because we've had the Easter Monday and everything in school has been knocked back. And oh, I'm so bad. So I'm so sorry. She's really lovely. I feel bad. Trevor's mum, Cottontail, Happy Lucky and T.M. Owens. That's your random hellos for this episode.
What's the crack, section?
What's the crack? I've got a wee pattern to recommend for you. It's the Paving Mitts by Twinset Ellen. These are her newest design and they are for Tunisian crochet. And her message to me said, she figured that anyone who could do lightsaber crochet could probably do Tunisian crochet in their sleep. Enjoy. Thank you very much, Ellen. I'm utterly intrigued by doing this now. And I can make my resolution to try it. This pattern calls for two colours, one tonal and one variegated, and in fingering or sock weight, which is a great way to use up sock wool that you have in your stash. So, hands up on the bus, or the train, or the car, who has got some of that? Hands down now, especially you, Ellen, if you're running. And I actually listen to podcast 2 when I'm running on a reasonably lowish volume, so I can hear the cars coming, because I can't hear it very well with music. Not that my road is very busy, but still, it's a single-track road, and there are cars on it. So I do keep looking backward for safety reasons. I'm very safety conscious when I'm out on the road. I'm very visible too. Oh, sorry, I've digressed. It's just because Ellen's been running. So go, Ellen! Get those knees up on you. Go, you've not got far to go now. Then you can have a cup of tea and think up more cool patterns for us. So the pattern on the mitts themselves, they're perfect for this time of year because we still need to wear gloves, but maybe we could go fingerless gloves. And also there's a thumb and the pattern resembles paving slabs, which I like very much. These would be great in a crisscross of grey and then a variegated of light greens and blues and greys, which would be the paving slabs of Caithness. Hmm, I could even use some of the sparkle dock that I have left. All I need now is a Tunisian crochet hook thing. That's why I've tugged and see how much the cheap ones are on eBay, I suppose. The material you're making comes out as a sort of spongy thickness, and it would be a lovely warmth to the hands, right on the wrists where you need it, and it keeps your fingers free for fiddling with your phone. As what pattern did I just call? And by whom? Well, you don't need to rewind, because it's the Paving Mitts by Ellen M. Silva. It's S-I-L-V-A of the Twin Sets Design Podcast. Do you know what it says on my script after Ellen's name? Spell it. And I was just about to say spell it out, thinking, what did I write in the next line? That's not very funny. But it's so that you know how to track her down. And obviously I'll put this in the show notes. Thank you very much, Ellen, and it was a lovely mention for you, because she is lovely. Now get your camera out, because it's time for a competition to win a fantastic prize, not from me, but from the Golden Skein. Shiny Bees Jo has asked me to tell you about her photo competition that she's running. And I've listed this from her group, The Golden Skein, and I went on for a nosy, and I suggest that you do too. She did send me a message, but sure she got her things wrong. You did, Jo. You offered 3 years worth of yarn, whereas no. She said, Kate and I have a lot of fun searching out inspiration pictures. Sometimes we start with a theme in mind, and other times we just follow our noses and see where we end up. For the first quarter of 2015, our inspiration is you. The competition is a photogenic one. We would like you to submit your own photos to be used as an inspiration picture for our dyers. What happens is they have an inspiration photograph and they send it to 3 different dyers who take the picture. Say it was of the one I had, it was a sunset with green valley and there was some water in it. So you got 3 skeins of yarn and they had the same colours in them but different, done differently. Some were heavier on the greens and some were heavier on the yellows. So it's really interesting to see what everybody's takes are. The competition is a photogenic one. We'd like you to submit your own photographs to be used as an inspiration picture for our dyers. This must be a photograph taken by you, which you own the rights, the copyright to, and it can be any theme taken at any time, but it needs to be submitted to us electronically and you will have to give us permission to use the photograph. We will be awarding a prize for your efforts, naturally, and if yours is the winning photograph, you will, drum roll, receive 3 yarns dyed that quarter for free in the colours of your photograph. How cool would that be? And when you get the yarns, they come with a little photograph on each skein of yarn which shows the inspiration picture. So you would have 3 little pictures of your picture on your yarn. I think I've just put them on the wall in a frame. Do not touch. This is mine. Very cool. She says, we know we have some very creative group members and we thought you would enjoy this particular challenge. The submission period opens at 12 o'clock on the 12th of April, which is past, and ends at midnight on the 30th of April. So you've not got an awful lot of time because today's the 24th of April. Photos should be posted either here via Twitter or Facebook page or Pinterest board to enter. You also need to email a copy of your picture to us if you are shortlisted. Once all the entries are in, we will shortlist the best 5, and then they will be voted on by you to determine the winner. Oh, no pressure for us. Full terms and conditions of the competition are on the Golden Skein website. Please familiarise yourself with them prior to entering. The competition is open to any entrants over the age of 18, and you do not need to be a subscriber to any of the clubs to enter. Now, I've had a wee look at some of the photos up already. They're wonderful. All the colours, and then some of the colours, and then none of the colours. What do I mean by none of the colours? Well, some of them are taken at dusk, so they're very, very faded and gradual tones. But then she's had the one for the greys for the tornado, and I wanted that, but... Now, I'm sure you've all wonderful photographs you can put in. What a prize. Completely recommend the Golden Skein Yarn Club. I wish I could afford to buy some more this year. Actually, I should enter too, shouldn't I? I have the old good photo.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up is the Highland Wool Festival in Dingwall on the 24th of May, quite quickly. And I'm going to it. And whilst I won't be buying a lot of yarn because I'm saving up for going somewhere else, I will be going for a nose and a meet up with Louise Scully of the Knit British podcast, Sheila of Black Isle Crafts podcast, and hopefully Tooth Fairy, you're going, possibly Shiny Bees. I suggested that she gets her husband to drop her off in a jet about Bewley and she can parachute in and then buy all her purchases, get a couple of sheep because she's at the Dingwall Mart and ride them home down the E9. There's a drover's road down it, she'll be fine. I suggested she bought two sheep because she'd need one for saddlebags. And then when she got home, I never thought about this, well, you could take the fleece off it and use it too. What a brilliant idea. I could do that. And when you're moaning about how far it is, it's not that much less far for me. And Louise Scully's coming from Shetland. You've got no excuse. E9, it's fine. Moving on. Then in July, there is Unwind Brighton on the 12th and 13th of July. I'd be surprised if none of you know about this one by now. I am going on the 12th, which is the Saturday, and there is a podcaster meetup at 1 o'clock. The venue is still to be announced. But the main event is at the Brighton Corn Exchange, so I don't expect it to be too far away from there. The podcasters are including A Playful Day, who's doing the organising, and we're just kind of getting told what to do. The Geeky Girls are coming from Edinburgh. Yarns from the Plane. I'm afraid we bossed her into it, but I can't say I feel too bad because I'm looking forward to seeing Nick again. Knit Spin Cake, I'm looking forward to getting a better conversation with Knit Spin Cake because last time I was eating my lunch and she just sculled off then, felt bad. Shiny Bee, who I do feel like I've actually met. Curious Handmade, oh, getting excited. And a couple of more still yet to confirm. And I'm looking forward to meeting some of you again and some of you for the first time. And I will reserve the right to be excited about meeting Shiny Bees, Geeky Girls and the Curious Handmaids and the others if they make it. You will have an excited Louise on your hands. So in September, there for me is the Knitting Pipeline Main Retreat. That's over in the United States of America. I nearly played you the tune to Coming to America, but I saved you my singing instead. Yeah, you'll be hearing a bit about that because the board on that is quite excited. And I was watching Woolly Bear yesterday and she said that she's excited about me coming over. Bless her, she doesn't know what she's let herself in for.
Runny, runny, runny. Who's the mummy?
Me, that's who. Runny. Now, big congratulations to Nick from Yarns from the Plane and her husband for putting in stonking times on their 10Ks last Sunday. I had gone and run with the North Highland Harriers for a 4 mile trail in Broobster Forest. Mum says, where's that? And I went, oh, out in the middle of nowhere, stir. Broobster. And whilst I didn't actually enjoy it greatly at the time, and I was the last one in my group, and it'd be quite dismotivating watching everyone else's backs run off. And they went, I don't have the physical ability to catch any of them. But what they do is they time the longer run to come in at the same time as the shorter run. So some of the more elite or athletes were passing me, but they were saying encouraging things. Granted, at the time I was thinking, shut up, you patronising so-and-so. But they actually mean it. They are, they're really nice. And there was one of them kind of was running at the same speed as me near the end. And it was downhill, which was nice at the end. It wasn't at the start, because you had to go up. But I thought, well, I'm going to come down to this. And they're going, ooh, can put a bit of speed on now. I was going, thinking in my head, because I couldn't speak by this point. I am. But they can be quite competitive. But they are really a nice bunch of people. And they're really encouraging, no matter what your ability, because they all started somewhere too. And I wasn't used to running with people, and I can only run what I can run. And I even had a number to pin to my top that had my name on it, which was quite interesting. It's weird when you've only been running by yourself or possibly Richard, and then all of a sudden there's loads of other people around you and you have to kind of get into your own space of how you're going to run. If are you going to run around them? Not in this race, but yeah, it's a bit different. But I thought I would try it just to get used to running with a lot of people before the main event in 3 weeks time. And at the end of that event, there was tea and lots of cake. And I'm never hungry after, and so I just fed the children it. And never even slightly. It's the day after where I will eat you. If you stay still long enough, and I think, I'll start with you, Pat Fragg. You look quite tasty. I'm only actually saying her name because she's just favoured one of my tweets when I was typing. She's so sweet. Mmm, sweet. Well, at the end of that event, the organiser of the run said that there was a 10k event in Wick the following Sunday. I hear myself, I should do that. How did it get from the back of my head out my mouth? And then other people heard it, and Richard went, well, okay then, yes, you'll do that. And I was quite content in not running 10Ks until the May one, but it was a good event to try it out on. We started at Snaxigo Farm and then ran up to Knosshead Lighthouse, which was 5k one way and then 5k back down again. Three long inclines. Remember me saying about hills? Well, they call them inclines. And they did that and I had to stop myself from laughing. And this was mostly uphill there, mostly downhill on the way back. And I'm thinking, oh, well, it'll not be so bad because I'll be able to make up the time on the way back down. But my legs preferred the uphill for some bizarre reason. And coming back down, my legs didn't really do much of that. But I did make a decent attempt and I came in at 1 hour and 2 minutes. And I had stopped twice for a drink. So my moving time was just 1 hour. Had I not done that, I would have come in under the hour. Plus, it was a race. There was medals and trophies. And I just thought, do you wonder if you get one for coming in last? However, I wasn't last. I was second last. And there was also Easter eggs because it was Easter Sunday. And Richard won the raffle for one of the eggs and we all got Cadbury's cream eggs with it and a medal. And as I said, I came second last. Which, hey, I listened to the BBC News quiz for an hour and I giggled quite a bit of the way. So it was fine because two of them are half an hour. So I knew exactly where I was. And then Richard and his running pal Gordon met me at the 9k mark as they had finished. And they ran back with me the last kilometre, which was really nice in a way. And I was in two minds at the time when I saw him. I thought, I hate you because you've finished this and you still got the energy to come back out to me another kilometre and then run me in. But I love you very much at the same time because it's so kind and generous to do that. Yeah. It was nice and not nice at the same time, but more nice than not nice. So this is my tip. Try a running club. They are friendly. Or they should be, because you're all into the same thing. You're all running and you're all about improving yourselves. And they've all done the mistakes you've done and they'll give you encouragement and they'll possibly tell you what not to do. But then I suppose you still got to make the mistakes to find out properly, don't you? And they should let you run your own race. And I got a cheer when I said it was my first 10K, so it was really nice.
Psst, pass it on.
Right, pass it on section. I had a wee sniffle the very next day after I posted the last episode. It passed pretty quickly, thankfully, but I wanted to pass on a wee tip that I wish I had known when I was a little girl. If you have a cold or a sniffy nose or a chesty cough, put some Vicks mentholatum on the soles of your feet when you go to bed and put bed socks on and then you'll have a better night's sleep. I learned this a few years ago from somewhere, I don't know where, and then I heard it again on the Chris Evans Breakfast Show because he'd done this to his wee boy. And it happened that I had a cold at that time and I thought, well, I'm having me some of that. Because I was put Vicks on my chest and my back. So I tried it and it works better than your chest and your back. Now, I have asthma, so I suffer from chesty colds when I get one. Because it kind of tends to go there and sit there. I have tried the chest, I've sat my head over the basin of it in hot water. So this is another wee tip in the mummy arsenal of things to try. Especially if you've got little people. Because A, they think it's funny getting their feet tickled by putting the Vicks on, but B, it gives them a better night's sleep as well. So at one point, the whole family had Vicks on their feet and Grandma, but well over that, and I don't think it came to an awful lot in the fact that I must be quite fit just now. And I've got a great pass it on from Bobby of Illinois, which I'm going to save for the next episode. She lovingly sent me a parcel full of sweeties and bits and pieces for the Bairns' Easter. Sandy loved the pretzels and I got to eat jelly bellies. I love jelly belly beans. We used to love them at work and Richard had no clue because he had no clue that they all had different flavours. He's so uncultured. I love them a bit too much. So what I've done is I've hidden them in a cupboard. Well, hidden's the wrong word. I know where they are because I put them there. But they're awkward to get to above my head height, so I have to get a chair. So it means I've got to go to a special effort to get them. Which, saying that, I'm sitting here looking at 5 donuts, 5 Jaffa cake bars, 4 Easter eggs and various sweeties that I bought at the shop today. I've got no desire to eat any of them, but they, oh, I can see the Jelly Bellies. Oh dear, there's not much fat in Jelly Bellies, is there? Moving on.
The swap section.
Swap and Cal. Have you all sent and received your swap yarn? If not, please do so at your earliest opportunity because the deadline has very well passed. And if you can't or haven't, please let your swappy know why. Because it's only fair, especially if you've received theirs. Also, I would like to say hello and get well soon to the lovely crafty Duchess who, as we feared, was in hospital and has the most terrible time, but she's now recuperating. So I hope you will join me in this. So get well soon, crafty Duchess. Phew, I thought we'd lost you. And we now have a knit along open for everyone to do something with their yarn that they swapped, or if you just want to join in with a 100-gram yarn knit. You don't have to have been in the swap to join it. Any pattern you wish, but the rule is only 100 grams of 4-ply sock or fingering weight yarn that can be used, and you have to have a finished object photographed and linked to the thread by the end of June 2014. And I say linked to the thread because I can't get the blooming thing to upload half the time, so I'm amazed that some other people can. So as long as it's linked to the thread. And I'll find a prize. So sign up and get knitting. I am going to knit Daisy and Sandy socks. I'll have to pull my finger out for this, won't I? This is why I gave it to the end of June, because I knew I wasn't going to get there quite quickly. And you can double this up with a few other knit alongs that are going on just now. Knitting Dish is having a small shawl knit along, and she's promoting the Fireflies Rising Shawl by Curious Handmaid Helen. And also the Lost Geek, pretty sure she's doing another library along follow on. So whilst your yarn might be new, you could find a pattern that you've previously had and get it using. If she's not, she must have finished it, but I think it's a brilliant idea, the library along.
The Beaker section.
Me section. I have got the Karina Westerman pattern here, Torn Vid, I'm painting it. And I'm using the Old Maiden Aunt 4-ply in a dark, dark grey called Selkie, which is a seal. I love Selkies. Well, actually, no, I don't. I like them over on the other side of the harbour. I don't really want one to come close to me. I like the mythical Selkies. Long rows and lace equals only at nighttime knitting. Or during the afternoon or during the day. But I've not got much time during the day just now. And I've got 11 lines left and half of those are plain purl. So really, I've only got 6 patterned lines to go. I really want to get this finished soon. My yarn is holding up very nicely with all the putting it in the bag, putting it out the bag, putting it in the bag, putting it out the bag and knitting. And it's got wee flecks of lighter grey in amongst the dark grey. And whilst it's not the black that I wanted, I think I'll get a lot of wear out of it. Remember the grey of January's Embrace the Jackdaw episode? Well, this is my grey, and it's on purpose, and I'm embracing it. And I'm actually quite liking my jackdaws just now, because they're nesting, and they're doing very well keeping off my garden, which has been planted with Tanti's peas, onions, broccoli, although I did tell him to plant that inside the polytunnel, because we will now get caterpillars. And also we've got carrots and garlic. I tell you, I leave him unsupervised whilst I do wood chopping, and he does that. I have my tomatoes started in the house already, and they're doing really well, actually. They're about 10 inches high, and my kitchen windowsill is east and south facing, so perfect spot for them. The weeding has not yet started in earnest, but I heard Ernest doesn't like it very much anyway. Oi, geese, get back to Iceland. It's time for you to go. I don't need you now because I have finished the jelly roll quilt. It was the raspberry ripple pattern from the book Layer Cake and Jelly Roll by Nikki and Pam Lintott. Took me quite a long time to do this, and I had to add to the jelly roll because there wasn't 40 strips in it, but it worked out okay in the end because I bought a set of batik fabrics that toned in, and I ended up using them on the back as well as the piece of material that I dyed then over-dyed myself wasn't quite wide enough. So I learned cutting neatly. I learned how to cut squares to the same size. I learned Sandy can use the quarter of an inch foot on the machine. And I learned how to join the binding in a continuous join. I learned to measure, to write things down, to use a post-it note to keep your place in the pattern. I learned to stick three layers together properly and evenly. I learned how to place the squares so the colours are even across the pattern. I learned to ask for help and accept the response and go with your instincts. I learned to check, to double check the triangles have all been sewn around in the quilting part. I learned to get over the hard part of quilting by sitting beside your quilting mother who asked you what the big sigh was for. I learned how to iron the seams as I went along, which makes a big difference. Now, I'm sure I learned a whole pile more things, but these are the ones I can remember just now, and I hope that I continue to remember and learn from them. So the quilt itself is now going to be washed, but I'm going to take it to show and tell on Saturday, and then I'm going to wash it and iron it properly and then use it. Granted, it's now a little bit too warm to use it properly, but we still have the old cold night, so it'll be fine for cozying underneath when I'm watching telly. I'm now halfway through the crochet poncho by Dandelion Dreamers. I've got 600 grams of Melly classic knitting yarn, which was 100% merino, and it was bought from Littles at a very nice price, and it's a teal colour. It's really nice yarn, bonny colour, crochet stitch is good knit, and it grows pretty quickly. Sarah even suggested I bought more of the yarn next time I saw it and made her one too. I didn't do an awful lot of crafting over the school holidays with one thing and another, so now I feel like I'm a cork coming out of the champagne bottle. Whee! Plus, I've nearly finished something, and that helps enormously. I'm looking ahead to the next things, but I know I still have got a few other things sorted, because I was feeling quite angsty about having so many works in progress. I like to have a couple of things, but not so many that I feel pressurised about not finishing them. And also, I want to make a few things to stock up shop as well, because Richard says I need to raise some cash. As the textile artist, Dorothy had finished her cover for the Great Scottish Tapestry book. The tapestry itself is now finished in Aberdeen, and it is heading to Paisley from next week. So if you're about there, please do go find it. It's from the 3rd of May to the 8th of June, 10 to 6, Tuesday to Sunday, and open late on Wednesdays, Thursdays until 8 o'clock. And it's at the atrium of the Anchor Mill building on Thread Street, Paisley. And I'm not sure if they still need volunteers, but if you want to help, get in touch with the museum at admin@paisleythreadmill.co.uk, who will put you right. Dorothy's cover for the book was a big wow. It sparkled when she pulled it out of her bag. It started out as a long piece of luchador, which she painted and then sprinkled threads and sparkly bits and shiny bits over, and then she covered it with bond web and some sheer material and ironed it flat. And then she screen printed some seed heads onto it, and she machine embroidered over it, and it was quite beautiful. Valerie was needle felting some Caithness inspired scenes, and she was using up some wool embroidery threads that needle felted wonderfully. She said it takes a little bit longer, but her colours were perfect, because there were greens, purples, blues and browns. Shirley was wearing a Shetland-style lace shawlette that she had knitted, and she said you do the lace section, and then you pick up along the sides and knit the top triangle of the shawl in garter stitch. And it reminded me a little bit of Simmer Dim pattern, but it wasn't, because she doesn't have that book. Don't know why I said that. Anne was sewing on wee circles of material that she cut out in oranges with a bead in the middle of them and looked like flowers on a burnt orange background material. I was doing the hand sewing of my binding on the back, and it was really good to be back after the holidays, so I can get into it more now I've finished the jelly roll quilt. Drams. And on to the drams this episode. After this there is only blah 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 bit and shoppy section. So if you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thanks for listening. I'll catch you next episode. If you are into the drinking and the shopping, stay tuned. This episode saw Richard and I, a couple of weeks ago, drink a Glenlivet 15-year-old single malt whiskey. Because I'm off the drink now until I've done the May 10K.
We're drumming. Hope you like drumming too.
Hello, listeners. In this episode, we're doing the Glenlivet 15.
How are you tonight?
Could you say that any quicker?
That's what we say. How are you? How are you tonight? How are you today? So, how are you the morning?
Oh, dear. Right. This is a Glenlivet 15 single malt whiskey. Could you pass me said box, please?
It's a lovely ruby red brown.
Yes, it is.
A burnt terracotta.
It's got
George Smith.
George Smith written on it. On the sides, embossed in lighter colours.
And who would George Smith be?
I think he's the dude that owns it. Oh, hold on, it tells us. In cream writing, no. In a cream panel up the top, it says, in 1824, George Smith established his distillery in the remote and wild location of Glenlivet. Here he found the perfect conditions to craft the definitive... See, the reason I'm saying that is it in italics... Definitive single malt whisky.
I would have to say Glenlivet is both wild and remote.
Well, look, that's later on down in the list. Look down there. East.
Zips lips. Throws away the key.
Through this timeless primeval valley run the icy waters of the River Livet. Its name, smooth flowing one in Gaelic, reflects the Glenlivet's beautifully rich and elegant flavours. That's you. You're rich. In your name. And it's the French Oak Reserve. It's the single malt that started it all. French Oak Reserve, selective maturation in new French oak casks made from Limousine oak creates a characterful and unique expression, and it's established in 1824. Oh, right, back the box. Oh, I like that. Richard's box. Up the top, it's got some interesting information about high up in the remote area of Glenlivet, George Smith was the first to produce a whiskey of such exceptional... Exceptional quality that it went on to define the taste of Speyside. What are you doing? His definitive single malt inspired so many other distilleries to adopt the appellation Glenlivet that it became known as the longest glen in Scotland. In 1884, a legal agreement was reached to distinguish Smith's original whisky by referring to it exclusively as the Glenlivet. Underneath that, it's got 70 centilitres, which is 700 millilitres, 40% alcoholic volume. And it does say colour, nose, palate, finish in their writing, but Richard's written over it in black, and it says colour, resinous gold, but Richard's written Chewbacca. The nose has got creamy and rich peel and candied grapefruit aromas, but he's written spotty nose. The palate, it says round, sweet, incredibly smooth, fruity and nutty flavours, a gentle cinnamon spiciness, and he's written palates. Nan? What's that say?
No.
Sorry, guys. Palates? No.
Pilates?
Oh, Pilates? Nay. No. Circuits?
Duh.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Pilates?
Stop hitting the table.
Pilates? No.
No.
Circuits?
Sorry, that only works in a West Coast accent. Finish. At least say lingering with traces of toasted hazelnuts and almonds, and he's put... finish only at the end. www.theglenlivet.com, product of Scotland. Okay. Right, and the bottle is ye old-fashioned bottle with a fluted top, and it's got the same information on. Quite easy to read because it's in cream with black writing, and then the bottom is in burgundy gold with the George Smith stuff. Drink responsibly, people, and on the... what's that bit of the bottle called?
Embossed.
No, that part of the bottle.
The neck.
That's the neck.
The shoulder.
The shoulder of the bottle has got a...
it's a chest.
A chest part. It's got a wee embossed 1824 established.
I made that bit up.
Could you make more noise? That's not what I want. No. Could you?
I could if I really wanted to.
I'm editing this bit out, so you can just be abusive as you want. Stop it. Look at that.
Hello.
Right, could you please describe the colour in the bottle?
Chewbacca
is
working tirelessly in the Millennium Falcon to fix the hyperdrive circuit.
I would agree with you there. Right, would you like to...
Pour?
Cork?
Smell? Cork?
Oh, because
we have a cork this time.
Yes. Would you like to do that again and not hit the ball? Oh, it's a silent but deadly cork.
Huh?
All right, sniff. I can't smell anything. You shoved the bottle so far up my nose. It Right, would you like to pour? Right, the colour and we'll do
it's
it.
It's a silent cork.
It's a pretty silent cork, isn't it?
Right, okay. Swirl. It's smell.
Vanilla-y.
Fruity. Yeah. It's fruity. Very fruity.
Well, what fruit were you eating? It's these nutty flavours.
I know, and grapefruit.
Oh, sorry, nose. Creamy and rich.
I'm getting tomatoes. That's a vegetable.
Tomato plants are over in the window ledge. Candied grapefruit.
Lovely smell.
Candied grapefruit aromas.
I'm not getting grapefruit. I'm getting... No, say that again. I'm getting citrus. Could be a grapefruit.
I'm getting whiskey for people. I can't smell anything. It's nice. I'm not disputing
it's
it. But
a lovely sweet smell.
Is it?
Oh, it's a lovely sweet smell.
Okay.
Love that. Mm-hmm.
Right. Us as well. I'll never get a job doing this. I just have in the
you
back of every one.
You swirling first?
Swirl
look
it.
At that. It's just a ring of beauty.
Yeah, okay. Right, would you like to put a third drop of water in mine? Like you? Oh, we never did the colour in the glass. 3 drops of water went into his.
I like a wee drop of water.
The colour of the glass.
Ushkava.
The colour in the glass is Chewbacca eating a toffee. And he's probably going to stop it. And the taste is a little bit burny.
It's got a wee bite to it.
Mm. But is that a dry whiskey?
No.
Right.
It's like eating a fudge. That's the way I see it.
How do you mean? Describe.
It's that taste like a fudge. I don't like fudge, but I like that.
Oh, I like fudge. No, I'm not getting fudge. I'm just
I get kind of like, it's like, you drink it, you swallow it, you get a taste of it as well.
Okay.
A bite of it. Lingering.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say in the box?
All that stuff.
Fudge?
Yeah.
Do it. No way.
Well, it gives a pain. I'll do it soon well. Because you've written loads of bizarre stuff.
Finish.
So I'm
going to trace it.
I don't see why I can't.
I'm not getting hazelnuts at almonds.
Hazelnut?
I'm not getting hazelnuts or almonds.
Well, I really wouldn't know what they tasted like. Unless they're like cashew nuts, can I eat them? It's smooth.
I like that, it's lovely. I would say this is worth the £35 I paid for it.
Wow.
That's feeling flush.
You must have been. Where did you get it from?
No, I don't think I paid that much for it, actually. No, you can tell it's a different whiskey. 15 years. You can tell it's that little bit above.
Mm.
It's smoother. It's got a more refined taste to it.
Now, we last tasted the Glenlivet when Kelly and Al were here. Hello, Kelpap. And Al.
Was that a 12?
I think it would have been. But...
This is lovely. And what I'm trying to say is that you taste a 12 or a 10... They're nice, they're good, but this has got a certain refinement about it.
It makes me wonder what the older ones would taste like.
I can't afford them.
Okay. Fair enough. End of that discussion. So, what would you describe a taste like?
Well, fudge.
Fudge. I don't get fudge, I'm not getting any sugar with this. There's certainly no peat. I can tell you what, there's not in it. There's no peat or smokiness in it. It's very space-idy.
Very space-idy. I've been to Glenlivet.
Uh-huh.
A few times.
Well, are we there?
Mountain biking.
Yes, you can tell me now. Tell the listeners now about the area that Glenlivet is from.
It's in the middle of absolutely nowhere. You have to drive 30 minutes from anywhere to get there.
Right.
There's a fantastic mountain bike ride. Well, mountain bike centre.
Mm-hmm.
Beside it. But I drove past the distillery and never stopped.
But you knew where it was?
Well, aye. Because it's a mountain bike ride there.
Cool. Quite and, a lot of people been to that now, haven't they?
I got third in Strava.
For those that don't know what Strava is, it is a app on said phone or device that you can download, and it records what time you do your exercise, and you can do it for running or you can do it for cycling. And running's quite good because you can log your times and your distances, and you can then go back and compare yourself and contrast to other people. So
it's dangerous.
Cycling, well, you get a little bit addicted and a little bit competitive with yourself and other people. But cycling, it'll place you, well, it'll do with running as well if you do the same route. And cycling, my friend Mari gets Queen of the Mountains all the time because there's not all that many women that do the routes that she does on Strava.
I can imagine her with a wee crown or a tiara on top of a hill.
I don't know so much about that, but Mari's very competitive, uber competitive. She is the atypical, oh, you know about that.
She won't let children win Connect Four.
No, that's true. She wouldn't let you win Connect Four in the airport going from Tenerife to Edinburgh either, would she? We were being called for the flight because they were playing Connect Four in the airport, waiting on the flight.
She's very, very...
I love Mari.
...competitive. She's a lovely lassie.
She's my friend... My daughter's godmother. That's how much I love my friend Mari.
I quite like your Manny too.
And Ricky, her man, who's a soldier, who is...
He's not a soldier.
What is he?
Well, he works for the RAF. He's a pilot.
And Ricky, her man, who works for the RAF, is a mechanic. He is quite competitive too. So they suit each other down the ground. But because there's a lot more men that seem to do all the routes that they do, he never gets King of the Mountain, and it really annoys him. That's what she said. And I'd imagine it would really annoy you too.
Hmm?
No? Yeah.
No, I'm used to coming second or third. The Harriers. Because it's all these racing snakes that keep beating me. But all I see is, put a pack on my back and run for the full day. I'll have them all.
I'm sure Ricky would too, because he's in the RAF.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you invite for your dram?
I've completely forgotten.
I think I'll have Tilda Swinton this episode.
Oh, good call. Purely. Who does she look like?
She is a Scottish actress, albeit she was born in London, but I think she was brought up mostly in Scotland. Because we looked her up this morning. Because... allegedly, she stayed in Wick for the past couple of days, and she is as pale as she looks, but...
But who does she look like?
I think she looks like David Bowie.
And who else does she look like?
Who?
The lassie from that band.
Oh, from LaRue.
Yes.
It took us a while to get there. It was one of these random conversations we had this morning. Right.
Right.
So who can you remember you're having?
Yes, I do.
Who are you having?
I'm having a boy who I was at school with. I used to just pal about him all the time, do mountain biking, no running around. A boy called Chris Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
You never met him. And he's just disappeared off the face of the earth. And I've tried getting in touch with him, can't find him at all.
Oh, well, if you know...
Well, he lost his way.
If any of you know Chris Bowers, who lives in somewhere...
Tynholt. Formerly of Tynholt.
He was from Tynholt. About ages with Richard, so therefore he's about 41-ish. One. Get in touch. Why not?
Yeah.
So, would you buy this dram again?
Oh, yeah. It's lovely.
No. Is this the dram that we have when we don't have any other dram?
No. This is the dram we're going to finish tonight, because there's not very much left. we'll find another substitute for the dram that we have if we don't have any other dram.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am off the drink after tonight.
Mm-hmm. We're good tonight.
Because we've got a month until the meeting, Kate, and I still got a fair bit of training to go.
Me too. Me too.
Hmm. Oh, and what did you do with the burns today?
Oh, we did the May Mile. Well, not the May Mile, the Harrow Mile.
The Bairns have... Well, there is a May Mile where the Bairns get to go and do a mile.
Poor Daisy was in there, hunkered down, her hands and her knees, breathing away because she just went, sprint stop, sprint stop, sprint stop. Sandy, who's maybe not the most strongest lad in the world, but he's got a brain in him and a half,
and he
knows how to pace himself.
And he's got little matchstick legs.
I watched him sprint up the road. He's a boy.
Well, I was on the treadmill
so
when they
proud.
Went, and then watched them coming back, and Sandy appeared first. And he kept looking back, bless him. He kept running, he came up the house. And then eventually, Daisy and Daddy, who was on his bike, came with Cottrell lagging behind. And
well, he's 11 times 7.
He is. He does quite well. And they came up and she was walking, then she'd run, and then she'd walk, and then she'd run, and then she came up and she ran all the way up the drive. And she came in the house, I'm all sweaty. So I gave her a drink and put her on the couch. And I was like really proud of her because it's quite a long way for a little person that's not really She's five and she doesn't know. So
I never started running until I was about 2nd year.
So I'm just delighted with her. And I told her that she did much better than Mummy did when she first started running.
We all start somewhere.
Yeah, we've got to do that. So, the Glenlivet?
9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. I give it 8 because I like a little bit of smoke, but it's very smooth, very tasty, it's very nice. I don't think I'd be able to pick it out of a lineup of 10 whiskies, but I quite like it. So if you see a Glenlivet in your shop, now I was looking and Fibertrek, who is a video podcaster who lives in Maine, and she knows her whiskey. Her favourite whiskey is an Old Pulteney, closely followed by a Highland Park. I know, she's therefore cool. And she was in the whiskey shop yesterday, I think they call it a liquor store, and it was just like what Tesco's looked like.
Huh?
Yeah, they're quite a good choice. I says, I think I've had most of them barring the Oban. And she was getting too persuaded by the Lafroy. But she went home with a Lagavulin. Have we had one of them? I can't remember. Oh, she went home with 3. And a Nobin and a something. Hopefully she had a lovely time with her birthday. So happy birthday, Fibertrek.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy all them drams.
Happy birthday.
She knows what she's talking about.
So red tomorrow.
And Slangefa.
Oikiva.
I have a book called Whiskey Wars, Riots and Murder. Murder. By Malcolm Archibald, which is about crime in the 19th century Highlands and Islands. And I found this bit about the Glenlivet. It says, the guardians of the stills and convoys were eager to defend their charges that excisemen in the early period were often in danger of their lives. Whiskey could be distilled in virtually any part of the Highlands, but in some areas, illicit distilling was just a way of life. At the beginning of the century, Glenlivet was probably the area most renowned for illicit distilling. At its height, there was an estimated 200 small stills working openly in the glen. Nearly every cottage in Glenlivet harboured a still, and the excisemen were apprehensive to enter. If they tried to make a seizure, the entire population, men, women and boys, would attack them with sticks and stones. Parties of up to 20 strong would leave the areas in broad daylight, travel to the lowlands, go to the towns and cities at night. They carried horns of whiskies and stout cudgels for defence if the excisemen should chance upon them. But there was also a code of loyalty that seemed unique to the Highlands. Once a man had drunk with the smugglers, he would never betray them. It was unheard of. Very interesting about Glenlivet. Now there's just the one distillery. But we're thankful that the Glenlivet dudes paid the licence and now we can carry on enjoying it.
Shoppy section.
Shoppy section. If you feel you want to contribute, which would be really nice, to my continued running of the podcast and get stuff back, please go and visit www.etsy.com/shop/Keithnesscraft. Thank you for your patience, as finally I got round to posting a few items. I've now got a handbag that's got lovely round wooden handles, and it is made from a felted cardigan that I have felted on purpose and cut up. It is a 10 by 8 inches and it's perfect for your purse, your Kindle and your keys. And there's rose details where the handles meet the bag, and it's in colours of blue and red and purple in strips. And the bag is lined with a beige lining inside. And also I have a couple of wee lined notebooks, one with a leather embossed thistle on the cover and the other with hand embroidery over a piece of roving slob yarn. It's quite sparkly, but I could see you pulling that out of your knitting bag and somebody saying, oh, I like your notebook, where did you get that from? And you could say, my podcast friend makes them. Do you want one? Go to www.etsy.com/shop/Keithnesscraft. She can make you one too. I actually love making these. And it would be perfect for all you ladies that are doing journaling just now, which seems to be very popular.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, section. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and listen to me. My email is keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook as keithnesscraft. You can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010. Via the Podbean site as www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photographs are down the right hand side. The music was from Mark Gunn's Wild Mountain Time, and you can go buy this at www.musicalley.com. Thanks for listening and keep on crafting. And here's my bairn home from school. Say hello, Sandy.
Hello.
And goodbye.
To Wild Mountain Time all around. Will you go? I say go. Will you go? I say go. Will you go?